Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 29th day of April 2021. And I'm always thrilled to have one of my favorite guests back on the program. His name is Dr. James R. White. He's an author, New Testament Greek scholar, apologist, and pastor at Apologia Church in Phoenix, Arizona. He's also the co-founder and director of Alpha and Omega Ministries and host of the webcast titled The Dividing Line. And today I'm going to read our theme as if I were Alex Trebek. Fingerprints, light from the empty tomb, established in the heavens, a cloud of witnesses, faithful promises. What are the five foundations for winning the battle in your own mind? A persecution survival guide. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to the show, Dr. James R. White.
Well, it's good to be with you, Chris, except for the fact that Alex Trebek is dead. And, that sort of, you know, is a sad thing, because I liked Alex. Probably by the time he died, the smartest man in the world, if he remembered even a quarter of all the questions that he asked over the years. I'm not sure how to characterize this particular topic, and just so that people know, I preached a sermon on this subject at Apologia Church a week ago Sunday night, and that's why I suggested the discussion of it, maybe a little more in depth or from a few other different perspectives. But we've had to preach a number of sermons over the past year or so that I would not have really thought of in certainly in the year 2000 or 2010. If I had been a little more eagle-eyed, maybe in 2018 or something like that, it seems to feel like Francis Schaeffer saw stuff like this coming when I was a kid. So I have to keep that kind of thing in mind. But A lot of Christians are being forced to think about things that are not overly pleasant, are not the type of things that make people jump up and down and clap their hands and go, boy, I sure do like listening to this program, unfortunately. But we really, really have been forced to think about these things, and in some ways we're behind the ball. It's a little bit late. But in other ways, better late than never. We've got to get started on it now. Well, we still have the freedom to talk about it, think about it, and that's sort of what the subject of that particular sermon was.
And an excellent sermon. In fact, I had trouble finding it on the Apologia Church website. I don't know if there is a trick involved. A friend of mine actually found it for me. And by the way, thanks, Rich. Whatever you did, you stopped the echo.
Yay.
a friend found it for me and sent it to me, and it's an excellent sermon. But how can our listeners easily get a hold of that?
Well, I didn't have any problem finding it. I'm not sure. You know,
I clicked sermons on the Apologia Church website.
Oh no. That's okay. No, that's Yeah.
Well, it seems like a normal thing to do.
Yeah, you would think that, but that would require the website to actually be current or relevant. You don't go to apologiachurch.com. You go to youtube.com. You go to the Apologia Church, Apologia Studios channel, and that's where everything is. That's where all the sermons are. That's where Apologia Radio is, and everything else. And so just click on videos, and it would still be one of the top five or six there because it's, you know, only been a week and a half since it was posted.
And you've simply titled it Five Foundations.
Right, right. Yeah, I would just I'm not sure what they titled it, to be honest with you.
That's the way I saw it when I finally got it.
Yeah, it's live streamed now on YouTube and Facebook. For now, I mean, it's just going to take them a certain amount of time to get far enough down the list to nail us. But we say all sorts of things that they've banned other people for saying. So it's just a matter of time. We all know that. But that's where it is for now, and it goes along with other sermons over the past number of months that we've dealt with issues of civil disobedience and civil government and the church and spheres of sovereignty and things that we in America got to sort of ignore for a long period of time, to be honest with you. But we can't any longer. I don't know if you listened to the presentation last evening by the ostensible President of the United States.
Unfortunately, yes.
Or a facsimile thereof. And as I think about the things that were said, as I think about spending on a level that would have made Bill Clinton blush, and not too many things made him blush, that he never could have even conceived of, honestly, and the social pushing of the Equality Act, transgenderism, the profaning of marriage, all these things being pressed as the just absolute moral good that everyone needs to buy into. The fact that fundamentally we were listening to what would have been recognized only 20 years ago as pretty much bold-faced, not just socialism, but communism, being presented by the President of the United States. Those people who read history know and understand what that kind of giant governmental presence has produced in the past. I mentioned in the sermon the fact that a number of years ago, when I still had the opportunity of traveling and was teaching in Berlin, I had one day where my host took me to the Stasi prison in the old East Berlin. In fact, the school was located in what we would call East Berlin. And let's just be honest, there's a lot of people in our society in the United States today that don't even understand what East or West Berlin would even represent. They were not alive. They were born after the wall fell, so they don't understand East Germany, West Germany, East Berlin, West Berlin, all those relevant issues in regards to communism. But this was in the communist sector, and it was a building that people disappeared into and rarely came back out of. And you would just simply disappear in the middle of the night, and your apartment would be rented to somebody else by the next day, and your name would just simply disappear. And as I toured that facility and read about its history, I had never heard of it until I started going to Germany. There hadn't been almost any discussion of it over here. But as you can go into some of the cells, and you'd see that there was a single light bulb in this extremely dark cell without windows. And the thing that I remember very, very clearly was the fact that when you went out into the hallway, there were stoplights up in the ceiling. And there was red and green, and that was my recollection anyways. But there was a lighting system that would make sure that when you were transported from your cell basically to your session with your quote-unquote counselor, in other words, brainwasher, torturer, whatever you want to call that person, who is meant to break you down and to either extract information from you, or if you're one of those terrible, horrible people that just don't believe what the government tells you to believe, to force you to do so, a la Big Brother, Orwell 1984, the only person you would see would be the guard and that counselor. And so they're moving lots of prisoners around, so they literally had a system set in place to where you would never see another prisoner, because they recognized that even that brief period of eye contact between yourself and another person who was suffering like you were could undo weeks and months of the conditioning that they were trying to put you through. And so that isolation, that kind of idea, I read a couple weeks ago about a Chinese Christian from a house church. They had put his story in, I think it was like Radio Free Asia or whatever, something like that is called. And he was talking about these portable torture situations that the CCP will set up, where they will use basements or whatever it is that they can find in a certain area, and come after a particular house church, and they will arrest the people, and they will separate them, and they will isolate them. And he spent, I think it was 10 months, inside, no windows, two meals a day, beatings, being broken down. And the whole thing was to, from the CCP's perspective, it used to be back in the days of the New Testament, it was Christ or Caesar. Well, now it's Christ or Xi Jinping. And I've read numerous reports that what the Chinese demand of their people is this religious reverence and worship of the state, giving thanks to the state for everything that they have, and wanting to see the furtherance of the state. And you know, Solzhenitsyn, C.S. Lewis, Chesterton, all sorts of people have told us for a very, very long time that if there is no God above the state, the only God will be the state. And that's what you have of necessity in communist systems.
In fact, have you seen the movie, which actually I'm quite pleasantly surprised that Hollywood would have produced and released this movie at this time in our history, but The Courier?
The Courier? No, I haven't.
No, The Courier.
Oh, The Courier. No, I haven't.
Oh, you've got to see it. Benedict Cumberbatch plays it's a true story about a British spy for Great Britain during the Cold War in the Soviet Union, and his subsequent arrest and so on, and the mind torture that he experienced. But I strongly recommend the movie. It's excellent, and it's true, and like I said, it's quite interesting and ironic that Hollywood, known for its left-leaning on everything, in fact, the only movie I could think of that's anti-communist other than this movie, it goes back to Red Dawn. I can't even remember an anti-communist movie other than that. But
I thought Hunt for Red October was good, too.
Oh, yeah. Right. That's right.
Anyway, but, so we know these things are happening, and we know why they're happening, and we understand, hopefully, the worldview that is presenting this kind of stuff. And that's why when I wander into social media and I see what's being said in our society, and I see, if you're familiar with Ibram Kendi and the work that is being done in promoting critical race theory,
I've heard it, unfortunately.
Yeah, and how Jamar Tisby has gone to work for him and that kind of stuff. He made a statement about how if you deny your racism, it's the greatest evidence of your racism. This this complete ability to convict, to accuse and convict in one sentence. And this is if you're listening to the responses to Senator Scott's comments last night after the president's speech, you see the exact same type of thing in this context: accusation and condemnation in one sentence. There's no argument. There's no discussion. It is guilty without chance of even being proven innocent. This is how the left has operated. Anyone who, a couple weekends ago, I was doing a long ride and listening to a history of the Great Purge under Stalin, and it's like, oh wow, it's like MSNBC's always existed, except back then it was called Pravda. Nothing changes. The playbook is the same. You take over the educational system. You get people ignorant of what's happened in the past. It just keeps repeating itself over and over again, which is why so many people here in the United States who came from, or old enough to have come from, Eastern Europe when it was still under Soviet domination, they saw this coming. They're like, wait a minute, we've heard all this stuff before. We know what these people are up to. Where are we going to go now? We've got no place to go. We thought we had come to the bastion of freedom. Anyway, all of that is the background to why I felt a very strong compulsion, even though I'm supposed to be continuing a series on baptism at the moment, and I will eventually, but I just felt a really, really strong compulsion to, first and foremost, obviously, I've been called to minister in that particular place as one of four pastors, and so that's your first goal, your first issue. But I know that I desired that sermon would be heard by people far and wide, which it has been. Was basically, I don't want my people, I don't want someone who's been under our preaching for a period of time to end up in one of these situations and not have any idea where they can start to try to survive a situation like this. Because, you know, we've been joking for a little while now, hey, I'll save you a bunk in the gulag, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And certainly there is that aspect of things. And I don't want my grandchildren in gulags, but if you're in a prison and you're allowed to meet with other Christians and things like that, that's one context. And it's a terrible context, but at least you're around other Christians. The tendency, however, of the left is to, the totalitarian mind, and again, this, anybody who's read 1984 understands this, because this is what the point was. Winston, it would have been quite easy to just simply shoot any dissident and get it over with. That's not what tyrants want. That's not what totalitarians want. They want to break you to get you to love Big Brother, and then they'll kill you because you don't have any worth to them. But the idea is that level of control. You have to break the person and conform them to the image of the state, and then you can get rid of them. Then you can make them disappear. We're seeing this in communist China. Obviously, North Korea, obviously. It happened under the Soviet system as well. And we're seeing it coming in through a soft geopolitical corporate methodology right now, but it can't stay there, and it won't stay there. It will grow fangs and teeth very, very quickly. It's a little bit like Monty Python's Cuddly Rabbit.
If you're not male and in your 50s, you have no idea what we're talking about.
Probably not, unfortunately. But if those who do know what I'm talking about, when you first see the little rabbit, he looks very, very cuddly, and he's just hopping around doing his thing, and then he kills a bunch of people. So that's sort of what's going to be going on with the future as well, as far as the corporations are concerned. But so the issue that I wanted to do is I wanted to lay out, and you already read the five foundations. I'm not smart enough to have made them rhyme or easy to remember or anything like that. I I realized that would have been the better way to do it. But
sounded actually like a MacGyver of theology with that, the way you tied all these strange things together, but they made sense after you went through
at the end.
The sermon.
Yeah, well, I hope so. Basically, just something that someone could maybe put in the flyleaf of their Bible, something that they could remember and start working on now, so that if you find yourself, and especially for modern people, especially for younger people, I can't imagine the difficulty of all of a sudden finding yourself in absolute silence, without a phone, without a computer, without another human being around. I mean, even as old as my children are now, in their mid-30s, they've almost never lived life without sound around them constantly. And it's that silence, it's just you and the darkness that makes a lot of people suicidal very, very quickly and makes them willing to say or do anything to break that silence and that isolation. And even that Christian man that I mentioned from the Chinese house church talked about throwing himself against the wall to try to injure himself. Thoughts of suicide coming into your mind very, very quickly, because you have no one with whom to speak. It's really, really challenging. And so what I did is I sought to put together those five foundations, things to be thought of. I thought maybe you could, look at your hand and go, well, there's five, and so you've got these things. And I don't know, some way of trying to think about these things. But obviously, just even memorizing what they refer to isn't going to be enough, because they require discipline and preparation beforehand. And so this is stuff that we need to be doing now. Our lives continue to distract us from these things. I've said many times, I feel like a schizophrenic. Because on the one hand, you see so clearly what is coming, the playbook, what the result's going to be, the fact you're going to have two systems of law, those for the elites, i.e. the party, and for everybody else, and there's no justice. And finally, eventually, justice will be understood again. It's been co-opted right now to mean all sorts of things that justice never actually meant. But eventually everyone's going to realize, wow, okay, there is something called justice, and we ain't getting it anymore because we gave it up. We gave up the foundations you have to have to be able to have justice in the first place. So you read them. The five things I came up with were fingerprints was number one, two, light from the empty tomb. So I suppose you could see your fingerprints in the light from the empty tombs. That's the first two. Established in the heavens, number three. A cloud of witnesses, number four. So a cloud of witnesses could get in the way of your seeing what's established in the heavens. See, I'm trying to find some way, of putting these things together. And then the fifth is faithful promises.
In fact, we're going to go through all of those foundations when we come back from our first break, one by one, if the Lord gives us the time to do that. If anybody has a question, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. James R. White, and we're looking forward to your questions at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lubenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
And we want to thank Banu Gotti for renewing his annual sponsorship of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And please pray for him because he is really sleep deprived lately. He has been on the phone for many hours a day with COVID-19 patients in India, or the family of families of COVID-19 patients. And he has been amazingly rescuing people, even on the brink of death, those people that are elderly and have diabetes and many other underlying ailments that magnify the negative effects of COVID. He's merely with heavy doses of vitamin D3. And it's amazing how the media is still staying clear of that very simple and extremely inexpensive method to combat this situation. So please pray for Dr. Banu Gotti, who is also one of the elders at New Hyde Park Baptist Church. We are back with Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Today we are discussing something very important and very timely: five foundations for winning the battle in your own mind, a persecution survival guide. And before you go into those five foundations one by one, just to make some things clear with our audience, number one, you have dismantled or disproven the stereotype of postmillennialists, which you have recently made that news public, that you are indeed a postmillennialist now. But you've dismantled the stereotype that postmillennialists just believe things are going to get better and better and better and better in an upward arrow that never points down, because you have, although ultimately you have a great optimism for the future, as all postmillennials do, you don't have great optimism necessarily for the United States or things happening right now, right?
Yeah, you know, the issue, this has been a part of the discussion of eschatology and things like that, has been looking at, you know, all the great errors historically in making eschatological pronouncements have been due to trying to create an eschatology based upon current events. And so I've taught church history long enough to know that there have been all sorts of times down through the history of the church when there were periods of great blessing and things looked like everything was going wonderful, and then lots more times when just the opposite was the case. And if you try to create an eschatology from that, it's going to change from generation to generation. It's never going to be consistent with the rest of your systematic theology. And so my adoption of postmillennialism was simply due to my looking at the consistency of the promises that God has made in Christ and to Christ. Psalm 110, stretch forth your scepter, rule amongst your enemies, 1 Corinthians 15. So I started from the top and came downward rather than doing what I had done during most of my life, at least as a younger person, and that is let's look at what the possible application of a particular apocryphal creature in Revelation is in comparison to Daniel or something like that. That's down here at the bottom and trying to reason up from that. And so in this situation, you know, someone might say, yeah, if you're a postmillennialist, then you should figure there's not going to be any persecution and everything else. And that's just simply not the case. Anyone who looks back over church history knows that there have been periods of great judgment where God has brought judgment against societies. And this is a part of the process of putting enemies under Christ's feet. And I'll tell you what my thinking right now is. It just seems to me, and I'm hearing other people saying similar things, there's never been a greater enemy to the claims of Christ than the current form of secularism in Western society. Even the Romans believed there were at least gods, that there was something beyond merely the human plane. And when you think about what it is that is being said by secular humanism, it is the most anti-Christ mindset you could possibly have. We are literally teaching our children, and according to the Biden regime and whoever wrote the stuff for Biden, because I don't think Joe Biden has almost anything to do with any of this, but he's just a placekeeper. But according to the Biden regime, now the government wants to have your kids from the time they're 3 years old onward. And of course they make that sound like this is a great, wonderful thing. We're doing this so you can work for 60 hours a week instead of just 50. As if that's a real, real positive thing for a family. But teaching children from that age onward that they are an accident, that they are a cosmic accident, that they are fizzing chemicals, that they are stardust, that they're ugly bags of mostly water, whatever terminology we want to use that has become popular. You are an accident. You have no transcendent meaning. You were never created. You will never be judged.
And by the way, I'm starting a punk rock band due to a phrase you used in a recent sermon that you borrowed from Star Trek. Ugly bags of mostly water. I think
ugly bags of mostly water. Yeah, I think that'd be a great. That's a great band name. But I think it probably is copyrighted. And if I know the Star Trek franchise, they will be beaming you off the planet very, very quickly if you try that. But it's true. I mean, that was one of my favorite episodes of The Next Generation, there were these silicon-based, I think it was silicon-based life forms in sand. And if you were a sort of a hive mind that lived in sand and you looked at human beings, what are they going to look like? They're going to look like ugly bags of mostly water. And so that's how they referred to human beings. Well, in the secular worldview, that's all there is. That's all you are. And eventually, you spring a leak, the water leaks out, and that's it. There's no judgment, there's no purpose, there's no future. All those things are gone. Well, that is the exact opposite message of what the cross and the empty tomb say. If we are ugly bags of mostly water, if we are nothing but fizzing chemicals, then there is nothing to the empty tomb. There is nothing to the Christian message. It's all empty. It's all a fiction. There's nothing positive about it at all. It's false hope from beginning to end. And so if 1 Corinthians 15 is right, and he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet, this is an enemy that must be crushed, and it must be crushed in totality. And so I'm simply sitting back going, all right, given those biblical promises, given that reality, is it possible that there could be an even lengthy period of extreme darkness where this anti-God, anti-Christ, and anti-human worldview is given free rein until, as it must do, it destroys itself and becomes such a watchword that this kind of foolishness will never, ever again enter into the hearts and minds of the children of men? And I realize what I'm saying, because if communism killed 120 to 140 million people in the last century, given the technology that it has now, that could be amateurish, as far as the number of people that could die under a communist, a globally communist, elitist technocracy.
Now, do you think I'm being overreaching here when I say, because there are people, obviously, even our brothers in Christ, maybe even especially the Reformed brothers and sisters, that think this kind of talk is crazy talk, it's conspiracy theory talk, it's dispensational talk, and they
about
forget...
What? About the possibilities of what we're seeing as far as Marxism goes?
Yes, the takeover of this country that we view as being such a pristine land of liberty. And when we think back to Nazi Germany, there were many, many Jews who were too relaxed and complacent because this was the hub of the academy. This was the hub of the arts. This was the hub of science. This was not a primitive country. And yet, look what happened. I mean, it's amazing when you really think about what happened to Germany. And therefore, the Jews, many of them, most of them actually, did not flee. Obviously, many started to try when it was too late. But isn't that something that should be a warning sign to all of us today, without being looked upon as nuts?
I just don't see, I don't understand why so many people today don't read history. I understand why the younger generations, I understand public education, I understand the modern hubris that if you didn't have an iPad, you couldn't have ever done anything worthwhile or anything else like that in the past. I get all of that, but if adults should be able to recognize that it is important to see where we've been, and if you would spend almost any time just listen to some Francis Schaeffer videos, for crying out loud. But if you would just spend any time looking at history, you'll be able to see the patterns. You'll be able to see the repetition of the same forms of argumentation. And as a Christian, with Romans 1 in your arsenal, in looking at the behavior of governments and the behavior of men, you should be able to see why tyranny keeps rising amongst men and has to be overthrown by people dedicated to a Judeo-Christian worldview that man is created in the image of God, and therefore there are certain things that follow from that. There is the sanctity of life. There is the need for a rule of law. There is the need for due process. All the things came from the Christian worldview. That doesn't come from paganism. Even close approximations to those concepts that came from, for example, Roman culture, still did not get to the full expression that you have once Christianity begins to have its impact in those areas. And so, if we just would look at history, we would recognize that what we heard last night was very much in line with what took place under Lenin and then Stalin and Mao and everything else, that we would recognize when, I don't know if you saw it, but right before we went on the air, I mentioned to Rich, there was a very funny tweet, I actually have, as you know, it took me into my 30s before I figured out what was funny. You recognize, you knew me when I was a straight-laced, very unfunny, Reformed Baptist guy that, you know, wasn't sure what to do with this crazy guy that was telling these funny stories at the beginning of the debates, but, and was a little scared as to what might happen from that, but there was a...
I did see, like, an evolution, pardon the phrase, years between terrified and laughing hysterically.
Well, that's true, and that started. However, I listened to the first debate again recently on a ride, and as Jerry started speaking, I flashed back, and no one else is going to get this, but I'll just mention it to you. I flashed back to your face because I had told you what Jerry was
right at dinner. Say. Right at dinner before.
At dinner beforehand, I said he's going to come in. He's going to say this, 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 and this. And you looked at me like I was, like you were a little bit concerned about how tonight was going to go, in light of what I was saying. And then when he gets up there, and he almost did it word for word. I mean, I had said he was going to do the David and Goliath thing. He did the David and Goliath thing. He said his books were packed away, and he said he hadn't had anybody Diet Coke. And I think I nailed all of them.
And he did the same thing with Eric Svensson, the same thing word for word.
Well, there you go. And so I see you standing in the back, and I had already noticed that some of the pressure was coming off you because the place was packed. I mean, obviously you were really worried there could be 12 people there, but there weren't. The place was packed. I see you in the back, and he starts talking, and I'm just looking at you. And you're looking at me, and your eyes keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And at that point, I think that was where it's like, okay, it's going to be all right tonight. It's all right. Yeah. So how do we get on that? I don't know how we get. Oh, the tweet about the funny tweet. I can't find it here. But it was some press person took a picture of President Biden and the First Lady on the White House lawn, and the president is picking one of those little dandelion type things, which I would think they would probably keep dandelions out of the White House lawn. But anyway, the whole meme was, if you're really well trained and you're paying very close attention, you might notice a slight difference in how the media treats the current inhabitant of the White House and the previous inhabitant of the White House.
Nice.
And the understatement was just really, really, really good, because they won't ask him any tough questions, and we know the double standard is obvious, but the media is completely sold out to this. There is no free media anymore, and if anyone tries to do that, you get censored, and this is Pravda. We're seeing everything playing out in front of us. And so I don't know why someone would have the idea. I guess. There have been certain people who have been working for at least a decade in doing the groundwork to fundamentally disrupt the evangelical church's response to this kind of stuff. So the people pushing the woke stuff, the people who have been doing this kind of stuff, they've been at this for a long time. They didn't just happen to magically appear in key places in our seminaries overnight in 2018. That started a long time ago. So you're saying, well, it's planned. Well, of course it's planned. I mean, duh, it's the same. It's the exact same playbook that has been played over and over and over and over and over again. And once, you know, when people were saying, I started talking about the Great Reset last year, and people were like, oh, man, this guy's, he's lost his mind. What's wrong with this man? There are entire books published called The Great Reset by the people that are doing it. That's not a conspiracy. It's just that a lot of people just don't know where to look. And I didn't know where to look either. You're probably aware of the fact that, you know, for years before this, someone known to both of us by the name of Michael Fallon was telling me this was coming.
Yep.
He saw it. He was in meetings where it was being talked about, and most of us looked at him like he was losing his noodle. And he's been spot on all the way along. In fact, I remember years ago he told me, he said, James, you just watch. It's going to be public health issues.
Yep.
That's going to be used. It's going to be some disease. It's going to be something. That's what's going to be used to fundamentally change our entire society. Well, okay, Mike, whatever you say. Well, here we are. And that's not a conspiracy. That's just facts. So, yeah, I know that there are those folks out there. Some of them do that because they're actually part of the movement, and others because they just can't believe that this is actually happening all around us. And hence, why in the world should anybody be talking about how a Christian can hold on to their faith under torture and isolation? But I, like I said, I just felt that it was absolutely necessary to talk about that, as unpleasant as it might be.
Yeah, and when we come back from our midway break, you can begin those foundations one by one, and perhaps you could preface it when we return on why you are focused in that message, that sermon, on the battle raging in our own minds or the minds of humans while they are being persecuted, rather than the forces that are existing outside of us. And of course, the old saying is true that we can be our own worst enemies. So we could start with that, and then you can go through them one by one, and hopefully we'll have time to go through all of them. But everybody, if you want to send in a question, chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and be patient with us. This is a little longer than normal, this break, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break because they have to obey the FCC and localize geographically this program to Lake City, Florida, so they air their own public service announcements and other local things in the middle of our show, while we simultaneously air our own globally heard commercials. So use this time wisely. Not only write down questions for Dr. James R. White to chrisarnson@gmail.com, but also write down the information provided by as many of our advertisers as possible so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers so that they will hopefully keep renewing their advertising contracts. We absolutely positively depend upon the finances that come from our advertisers to exist. So please try to respond to them, even if that just means thanking them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio using the contact information that they provide. That is, of course, if indeed you do thank them, if you do indeed love the show and are glad that it's around and on the air. So please at least thank them and send in those questions to Dr. White. We have a bunch of questions already sent in, but you could get in line and hopefully we'll be able to ask your question at some point before we run out of time. chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnson and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnson and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
This
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Potofuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfuco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White of the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus.
Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And solid-ground-books.com publishes and brings back into print the finest in Christian literature from the past and the present. Books from centuries ago that have long been forgotten until recently that have been brought back into print and have proven to be very vital and timeless in these perilous times in which we live. And also brand new books, even by our guest today, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So go to solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Remember, they are a premier, a primary, a vital sponsor of this program, and try to help keep them in business, because if they were to stop advertising, we might have to go off the air. They contribute that much to what we are doing financially through their advertising campaigns. So barring a miracle of God, we might have to go off the air if Solid Ground Christian Books ceases to advertise. But I want to thank all of you who have been purchasing a lot of books from them and mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Mike Adash, the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books. That's solid-ground-books.com. Always mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making your purchase. Before we return to our discussion with James White, a couple of brief announcements. You've been hearing us mentioned in some of the ads for the G3 conference that Vody Balcom is scheduled to be on the speaking roster. Well, whether you know it or not, Vody Balcom had a serious health setback not long ago and is recovering from quadruple bypass surgery. It is uncertain at this point whether he will be still featured on the speaking roster at the G3 conference. We are hoping that still will be the case. I am certainly hoping that will be. But please pray for Vody Balcom's recovery, his full recovery, as my friend Dr. Conrad Mbewe of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and African Christian University told me recently in an interview. He contacts Vody every day, and Vody is doing well in his recovery, but he's not out of the woods. He has a long road of recovery ahead. So please pray for Vody Balcom. Please join Dr. James R. White and me and Dr. Conrad Mbewe and about 20 other speakers at the G3 conference September 30th through October 2nd in Atlanta, Georgia, on the theme Christ is Supreme Overall. I cannot wait to be there again. This will be my fourth year in a row manning an exhibitor's booth there. And Dr. White, I know that you love G3 as well as I do, don't you?
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm not sure how many people at G3 love me, but... no, we, thankfully G3 last year was before insanity became the rule of the day. And we set up basically when I spoke. I spoke on I always speak in the morning. I'm one of the C-listers, you know. I'm the fill-in. I'm one of the fill-in guys.
Give me a break.
No, I am. I am. And so I speak in the morning at some point, you know, when people are still trying to wake up and things like that. And afterwards, we just set up out in the exhibit area and just had a continuous line of people and shaking hands, no masks, of course. I was just at the start of things. It was just coming around the corner, but, just get to meet folks. And it's funny, honestly, how each year, a different topic predominates. So, like, I think the year before that, I met so many people that had come out of, like, King James Onlyism, independent fundamentalist Baptist churches that were really sort of abusive and backwards and stuff like that. And they were talking about how they had run into my stuff or Jeff Durbin's stuff. And all around the world, Jeff and I will both say the same thing. We hear all the time from people, and they'll either say, I found you first, and then from you I found out about Jeff Durbin, or vice versa. And we hear that all the time. And so that was sort of what it was like that time. And then I think the year before, what was it? It was a different group that predominated. It's really, really interesting to get a chance to talk to people. And I know all the speakers don't get to do that, but we try to do that as much as possible. And the way things are this year, I'm having to drive. I'm going to be driving to G3. So that's... a little bit of a transcontinental road trip, and we're going to try to stop at some churches in Texas on the way and make it a road trip. But I've been sort of a fixture there for a while. I wasn't at the first few, but I've been there ever since then. So love the folks at G3. Love to get together with everybody and normally, you give me that hangdog look, and I'll come over, and we'll do the interview. I mean, you're just so good at it, sitting there, just looking so sad, and so we'll come over, and you're not the only one that does it. And there's a whole podcast row. At least there was last year. Remember, there was just a whole row of folks that were recording podcast stuff and things.
And
like
some
that,
of those people have been banned.
I might get there myself before long.
By Josh Bice, of course not.
No, certainly not. No, no. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and it's a different time of year. Normally it's been. I mean, remember just a couple of years ago we had lots of snow and people had trouble getting in because Atlanta got hit with snow, and so there was delayed flights and all sorts of stuff like that. But shouldn't have that problem in September. In fact, we could end up with some heat and humidity. Who knows? We'll find out.
Well, remember, folks, it's g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Please join us. Take a plane, train, or automobile, anywhere you can get the parachute down there in Atlanta. But we hope to see you there. Also, folks, if you love the show, please remember that we absolutely, positively depend upon your generosity to exist through your donations. So please go to irontripandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now and donate as generously as you can. And always remember, I don't want my listeners siphoning money away from their giving to their own local church where they are a member in order to give to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Please never do that. In other words, don't punish your church financially by blessing us financially. And also, please, if you are really struggling to survive, don't put your family in financial peril or jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio quite just yet. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for your church and family, and providing for this radio show is obviously not. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, please help us as much as you can at ironsharpandzionradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, I have lists, extensive lists, of biblically faithful, theologically sound churches all over the planet Earth, and I've helped many people in our audience find churches right around the corner from where they live sometimes that they didn't even know existed, or they've been passing these churches every day but didn't know that they were theologically sound. So if you are in that category of needing a church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. Last but not least, I think I already said that, but I'll say it again. Please pray for my former co-host, a frequent co-host anyway, Buzz Taylor. Many of you will remember Buzz from the first few years of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio after we relaunched after moving to Pennsylvania. Buzz Taylor's mother just passed on into glory, thankfully. She is now in eternity with Jesus Christ. And although that is surely an extreme comfort to Buzz and his family, it's still a time of mourning for them. If you want to send your condolences to Buzz, just go to Facebook, and his first name is spelt with one Z, B-U-Z, and his last name is T-A-Y-L-O-R. So you could go to Buzz Taylor and extend your condolences to him for losing his mom just recently. And we are now back with our discussion with Dr. White. And if you could, before you go into some of these elements, these foundations, tell us why you focused on our own minds in the event that we are being persecuted rather than what's going on around us.
Well, the issue is, and in listening to what Christians have said who've been persecuted, and in fact, it was interesting, a friend who's done missions work overseas near a very anti-Christian repressive nation listened to the sermon, and he contacted me and said, you're right, though, the hardest thing to deal with is isolation. It is, you know, if you're allowed to be with other Christians, it makes all the difference in the world. And so I had read so many comments and so many stories where it was that solitude, it was that isolation, and what that creates in your mind, and the ability that a persecutor would have to attack you in that vulnerable state. That was why I focused on, look, you need to have communion with Christ. You need to have certain foundations built before this happens. Obviously, the better those foundations are drilled down and laid in place now, the better you're going to be able to handle things in the future if that's what the Lord puts you through. And, you know, there's been a lot of Christians who have gone through this down through the centuries. We sort of feel like, well, that can never happen to us, but the Lord has used it in the past and might call us to do the same thing in the future. And so I was focused on if you're alone, what do you focus upon in your own mind? Not so much, you know, if they're not feeding you, if they're not allowing you to sleep, you're not going to be doing debates, okay? You may think that you're Superman, but it doesn't take too many days of sleep deprivation and that kind of stuff to get you past thinking you're going to be able to do stuff like that. That's when these foundations will be exposed. Everything else will get blown away, and so that's why I focused upon them.
Okay, well, fingerprints is your first foundation.
Yeah, and so basically I wanted to start with something that could be remembered. Most of us will still have our fingerprints. It's something it's right there in front of you. I suppose in the complete darkness you might not be able to see it, but we have to remember that if you are in a situation where you're being told to deny Christ, you're being told that the Christian faith is a lie, there is no resurrection, science has proven this, science has proven that, you have to remember that every word spoken to you by your enemies is a witness to their own createdness. The very fact of the existence of language, their ability to speak, to see, to hear, the complexity of life that continues to take place within your own body, within the body of the person persecuting you, these are all fingerprints of the Creator. You can deny them, you can yell at them, you can scream at them, you can say science has disproven this, but the very existence of science requires those fingerprints, the fingerprints of the Creator that He has left on His creation. And so I suggested to folks that while they have the freedom now to take some time to contemplate the clear evidence of God's design and creation. But you're supposed to be a presuppositionalist. All evidence is God's evidence.
Amen.
And I'm sorry?
I said amen.
Oh, okay.
I know Reformed Baptists aren't typically used to hearing that coming from the...
That's true. every bit of evidence that we can muster in regards that's real truth about God's creation is God's evidence. And so, looking at the irreducibly complex systems found in the eye and the blood clotting mechanisms, the genetic systems, and if you've seen my debate with Dan Barker from a number of years ago, the incredible system of cellular respiration, that's my favorite. The mitochondria that are in every cell in your body that are producing energy and the clear design. I mean, we can't even get close to designing this kind of mechanism on that level. And if we ever do get there, it is only because we have spent so much time and energy designing it. It is clear evidence of design all the way through. And so that reality needs to be a always in the back of our mind, that whatever evidence is being presented to us, whatever arguments are being presented to us, whatever being told we have to say, the truth is that God's fingerprints are all over His creation, all over us, all over me. That is the evidence that is right in front of us, even if I'm in a darkened cell. And so the fingerprints of God's creation, they're trying to get you to believe in a creatorless creation, and that is utter fantasy. And that's all they have, but that's where they're going to go.
And the second foundation is light from the empty tomb.
Light from the empty tomb is a phrase I've been using a lot recently. I don't think I borrowed it from anybody, but I'm sure there are other people who have talked about it. But the reality is the resurrection is absolutely central to the Christian faith, and it's absolutely central to all of human history. The scriptures show it as the center point of history itself, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And the reality is death is the universal human enemy, and Christ and He alone has conquered it. They don't have anything to give to you. They don't have any means of conquering death, even in the wildest fantasies that they are pursuing now, transhumanism and the idea of, and it actually, interestingly enough, came up in the Star Trek Picard series, the idea of being able to literally transfer a person's consciousness from a dying body to some other form. All these things are fantasies that are disconnected from the spiritual reality of man. Man left to himself, it's interesting, we've seen this in the COVID pandemic, will trade his very soul for another hour of life. He will do anything. The fear of death on the part of the secularist is overwhelming. But since the stone has been rolled away, there's no fear for the Christian of what he has conquered. But that is only true for those that are in him. And so for the persecuted believer, the empty tomb is the light the world can't extinguish. So it does seem that in many of these situations, isolation comes with darkness. They want to not let you to have light. But in the darkness of imprisonment, a light that no cell can banish exists for those who are united with Christ. And that needs to be something that we understand why that is, the mechanism by which that comes to us by the Holy Spirit, and then to realize the enemies of Christ may hold us in darkness in this world, but it is they who are stumbling in spiritual darkness even when they have the light of the sun. And part of this is important because one of the dangers is we would tend to foster hatred toward those who are misusing us. And the reality is we have the light of the empty tomb. They are stumbling in darkness and will fall into complete darkness and total darkness and eternal darkness if they do not turn to Christ. And that always helps to keep you from hating someone when you recognize what awaits them.
Yeah, and that's a difficult thing to do, even for things that are infinitely less serious than being persecuted.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. But I did mention in the sermon, I think for anyone, if you really, and I'm very thankful I saw some people on Twitter saying they were doing this, if you really want to do some preparation for this type of thing, read The Hiding Place. Read the story of Betsy and Corrie ten Boom in the Ravensbrück concentration camp. And I'm so thankful when I could travel that one of the last trips I took, the last year of my traveling, I got to visit the hiding place in Holland and actually see it myself, and the winding staircases and the watch shop and everything else that was there. It was really, really, really neat to be able to get to see that, and I would highly recommend minimally that you watch the film, but much more so that you would actually read the whole book, because it's... The truth that Betsy, who did not survive Ravensbrück, communicated to her sister and then through her to the rest of the world was that love is more powerful than hatred. And they demonstrated that in how they lived there under the Nazi rule in a concentration camp. So I think that's important. The third one, established in the heavens, as we know, the focus of the world to deconvert Christians in universities, for example, is upon attacking the Bible. And that is the case as well when it comes to persecution. And while it's always good to have a broad, solid understanding of the history of the Bible and its proper context, we've been teaching about this type of stuff for many decades now, no one can know everything there is to know about the Scriptures. But there is one thing that we have to remember, and that is that the same one who conquered death, the same one who rose from the grave, the same one who ascended on high, held the highest view of Scriptures as God speaking, viewed them as the very words of God himself. So in other words, one thing you've got to really understand is to hold any other view of Scripture than that which Jesus held, a simple foolishness. No one else has risen from the dead. No one else has the authority to contramand and contradict Jesus' view, and Jesus viewed the Scriptures in that way. So why would we view it in any other way? It does not make any sense whatsoever. No enemy who comes against us can predict his own death and his resurrection, then bring it about. Hence, they lack the sufficient authority to overthrow Christ's testimony to the Word. So what we need to be doing is not only understanding why we believe the Scriptures to be the Word of God, but to be memorizing Scripture as well. And I think that is something that it's a beautiful thing to see when people are doing it. I think, did you talk with Copperthwaite's at G3 last year and the young lady who has memorized a major portion of the New Testament and can just sit there and quote for you all of Colossians or whatever else it might be?
No, but direct her my way if she's one.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, well, actually, she's written a book about memorizing Scripture now, I understand. And in fact, Jeffrey Rice and I got together, and she had so worn her Bible out in memorizing it that pages were falling out. And so at G3 last year, we gave her a brand new Bible so she could continue memorizing the scriptures without pages disappearing. We don't want anything missing in while she's memorizing all that part of the New Testament. So, but yeah, I can just remind me, and I can get you in touch there. So, memorizing scripture, because it's going to be, if you've read The Hiding Place, that you know that God supernaturally allowed Corey and Betsy to have a copy of the scriptures.
Yeah.
The guards just never saw it. It's just amazing how that was. But that's not something you can count on happening for yourself. And so, the more scripture we have memorized, the better it'll be.
Now, A Cloud of Witnesses is an interesting passage that comes from Hebrews chapter 12. I was actually lovingly and gently rebuked because after the homegoing of my late wife, in fact, when I was graduating from Hebron Colony Ministries, which is the Christian addiction recovery ministry in Boone, North Carolina, where I went after plunging back into excessive and really severe scandalous drunkenness, full bore, and thankfully was delivered from that by God after my time at Hebron Colony, even the desire for alcohol. But at the graduation ceremony, I said that I lamented the fact that my precious late wife could not see me sober again, and I said, I know that there are many brothers and sisters who have been well-meaning, and they're trying to comfort me, and they've said, oh, but she's watching you now, because remember, there's a great cloud of witnesses. And I said, are you kidding me? She's got her eyes focused on Jesus Christ face to face. She's not looking at me and me standing here in Boone, North Carolina, speaking from this podium right now. As much as she may love me in heaven, she loves her Savior much more and doesn't want to tear her eyes away from him for 1 second. And I was thankful that you seemed to confirm that idea in your own sermon.
Yeah, I realize the emotional power that concept can have, but that's not what the cloud of witnesses is talking about. That's actually in Hebrews chapter 12. It's pointing us back to the people in chapter 11 who by faith had honored and glorified God and endured many hardships and difficulties and things like that. In fact, we started off in that section in the sermon because there were people who did great things for God and overturned kingdoms and things like that. And then there were people that were sawn in two and imprisoned and tortured and everything else. So it was all by faith, and it was all a part of God's plan. These are the witnesses, and it's not like they are watching us struggling along in our ignorances and sin down here. They are witnesses to God's faithfulness and to what being a faithful person is about. And we want to join their number by being faithful as they were faithful. And they are witnesses to God's faithfulness. That's the issue that is there. But the point is that we are told in Scripture to look back to those who came before us and to look to their examples, that God has sustained them, and he has sustained them through every kind of conceivable suffering and difficulty and trial and challenge, and we therefore can have that testimony that is given by them in their lives as something that is an encouragement to us. And it does seem to me, unfortunately, that a lot of Christians, outside of maybe a few Sunday school stories about David and Goliath or something like that, do not spend a lot of time pondering the lives of those who came before us. Maybe part of it's because we don't want to fall into the trap of hagiolatry, the worship of saints and things that we see amongst Roman Catholics or something. But the reality is that the Scripture itself tells us to think about those who've come before us. And we cannot be separated from those who have suffered for the name of Christ in the service of God who went before us. We are a part of that same family, that same purpose of God. And that is something that I think, I know, has provided tremendous comfort and encouragement to people under persecution in the past as they have faced these things and especially in isolation, it would be something to be able to really recognize that I'm not the first one that's gone through this. Because when you're alone, you tend to be focused solely upon your own pain, your own needs, your own difficulties. But when you think about others who have gone through the same things, that can cause you to focus outward and not so much upon yourself. And so that's, I think it's very, very important.
So you mean the chick tract, Why Is Mary Crying, is wrong? Where Mary is crying in heaven because she sees Roman Catholics and hears Roman Catholics praying to her and worshiping her. Obviously, the sentiment was good, but if Mary is crying, that means you can have pain and sorrow in heaven for crying out loud.
Right.
Pardon the pun.
Well, yeah, and the fact is, I mentioned I listened to that first debate that we did on Long Island again recently, and one of the first things that I said in that debate was I did not believe for a moment that Mary had even an inkling of an idea of what was being done in her name, the prayers that were being addressed to her, because it would break her heart that there were people coming to her rather than to Christ. And I just don't believe that she has any idea of what is done in her name here upon the earth, which, of course, led to gasps from the Roman Catholics in the audience that night. But at least we didn't have, in that particular debate, the little old Catholic lady row right down front that we had for the PACWA debate with all the extraneous audience participation that took place that night. But anyway,
I can remember a nun at the Jerry Maddox debate. I think she might have been a Lefebvreite nun. She had like a blue outfit on. The sect
right.
Bishop Lefebvre started. She came up to me during a break, and she said, "How dare you? I'm giving you a warning right now. Our Lady is returning soon." And I'm thinking, "Wow, they've even replaced the return of Christ with Mary."
We had a few interesting conversations after those debates. Thank you very, very much. In fact, I think you were staying there when Father PACWA invited me out to get a beer, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, he was wearing pointy cowboy boots.
Night, and a cowboy hat. And not during the debate, but afterwards.
Anyway, yes.
Speaking of cowboy hat, I remember when somebody from the audience during the question and answer session referred to him as Priest PACWA. A priest, I will not call you Father, Priest PACWA. And he goes, "Okay, Haas, what do you got to say?" But I do really like him, in spite of the fact that I disagree with him over eternal matters. I do really like him a lot.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Faithful Promises is your fifth foundation.
Yeah, and so the last one really was where I sort of snuck a little post-mill stuff in here. There are so many promises given to the suffering in Scripture. You know, you couldn't even begin to... just so much of the Psalter and so much material that is there. And Christ has promised to lose none of his own. He will always do the will of the Father. John 6:38-39, the will of the Father is the Son lose none of those given to him. Your security for eternity is as secure as the Son's obedience to the Father's will, and there's nothing that mankind here on earth can possibly do to break that relationship or to cause Christ to fail. But we also have to look beyond ourselves, and I think this is important, especially if you are in isolation. We have to look beyond ourselves to see our place in a much, much larger picture. That persecution can really cause us to focus in upon the narrow. We must create a place very deep down in our souls where we remember that we are but grass that flourishes and it fades, the flower that blooms in the morning and fades in the evening, and that our God is accomplishing a much, much larger task, and that we need to have a conviction that we are a part of that much larger task. And I may not see how my suffering right now is accomplishing God's purpose, but He has promised that it, in fact, is accomplishing His purpose. And so, in some amazing fashion, I am entering into the sufferings of Christ. Those who are persecuting me are persecuting Him. And just as He has risen victorious in the grave, despite the best the enemy could do, so will we. And so we have the promise that Jesus will crush his enemies under his feet. He must do so. It's the Father's will. The Father has promised him an inheritance of the nations. His strong scepter has been extended over all the earth. He reigns with a rod of iron. And many of those who've gone before us could only look forward to that day. But they died in faith, and the same Spirit who upheld them will uphold us as well. And that is why we focused so much upon Hebrews chapters 11 and 12. We did look briefly at all the positive things that people did by faith, but then we focused on those last verses where they suffered by faith. They endured being sawn in half and imprisoned and tortured and exiled and living in rocks in the desert. And then the author says, of whom this world was not worthy. And so that gave us, at least in the sermon, a context to be able to say that God can use us to accomplish great things. God can use us to endure great things, and all of it is under his sovereignty. And we need to see ourselves as a part of that much, much larger purpose, that much, much larger fulfillment of promises that have been given to us in Scripture.
We're going to our final break. It's going to be a lot quicker than the other breaks, so we'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vody Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all. Fellowshipping with the family.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions, while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Okay, Dr. White, we've got a question from our old friend, Pastor Gary George of Sovereign Grace Chapel of Southbridge, Massachusetts. Hello, Brother James. I pray for you daily, and sorry I'm not doing a good Massachusetts accent here. I suppose you in the past, and many in the present among Reform people, are reticent to confront political issues. As a postmillennialist, is your idea of fulfilling the Great Commission a compulsion to pressure secular government to be discipled so that the millennial period will come upon the earth in preparation for the establishing of the new heaven and new earth?
Well, not to bring that about. I mean, the reality is that for the coastlands to long for the law of God, there has to be a major work of the Spirit of God. And so there has to be a great drawing in of God's elect. One of the things that really startled me, honestly, as I started reading outside of what I was comfortable with, was when someone said, you know, we might still be in the early church. And that just left me going, I had never even given that a thought. I mean, it's just such a constant part of my upbringing that we're right at the end. And that's what everybody thinks. But then I realized in church history, that's what everyone has always thought. Every generation, from the start, that's exactly what they thought. And so what if we are at the start and not at the end? That would explain all sorts of things. The point is that the reason for the proclamation of God's truth is to glorify Christ and to, obviously, it's not to bring something about in the sense you have some type of secondary meaning to it. The reality is that what we're seeing today is the collapse into secularism is destroying human life. I mean, look at what we're doing to 13-year-old girls. Look what we're doing to 13-year-old, to 8-year-old boys when you fill their bodies with hormones that stop their brain development, all because of the insanity of transgenderism. I mean, the suicide rate is off the charts worldwide. The results of secularism are massive. And so in reality, we are simply bringing to bear the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and it's Christ or chaos. You either recognize that the Creator has designed His creation to function in a particular fashion, or you will have the chaos that is now being brought to bear, and being brought to bear now technologically in a way that could have happened in the last century, but the technology did not yet exist. I mean, the Soviets, if they had the ability to observe as the CCP does today, then they could have had a greater shot at holding things together. That's why this period of degradation where this system has to destroy itself could be a long period because, man, there's a lot of technology out there to help these people stay in control. But it cannot last because it is not connected with God's actual creation. And so we proclaim the Lordship of Christ. We proclaim his law to the coastlands, to quote from the Old Testament, because that is how we understand mankind. That's God made us. If you want to know how to deal with man, then you have to start with the Creator and with his own, shall we say, owner's manual. And so I'm not doing something so much to bring some situation about. I think it is my job as a Christian to proclaim the Lordship of Christ. And God then uses that to bring about his purposes in this world.
Okay, we have a listener, a first-time listener, who is asking a question way off topic. But since he is a Muslim, I figured I would give you the opportunity to at least respond in some way to his question.
Reminds me of Hamza Abdul Malik at all the debates.
I'm wondering, now, do you remember when we had one of the debates, or you, I should say, had one of the debates, I arranged it, with an imam. We had it in Queens, New York. There were 1,000 people there that were 90.
Oh, yeah.
Well, do you remember that there were like 30 people, and I can't remember if it was Finland or the Netherlands. but there were 30 Muslims that flew in to the United States to be there in attendance. Of course, there was something else going on here in America.
Right, right.
But
right.
I don't know if this gentleman was a part of that group, but like I said, I can't remember if it was Finland or the Netherlands. But anyway, John, who says, I am a Muslim who has watched all of James White's presentations and debates on Islam, and I always wondered why he ignores important verses where even human desires can constitute as God, like verse 25:43 and 45:23. His attempt to claim verse 5:11-16 is describing Trinity that consists of Allah, Jesus, and Mary, falls apart in light of these other verses where the Quranic usage of God can refer to excessive devotion instead of literal worship like human desires. The reason why I bring this up is because James White never dealt nor addressed these verses, but continued to insist verse 5:116 is describing Trinity since it calls Mary as God. So it is high time someone corrects this notion that was used by Christian polemics in 1897. Okay.
Well, the error is pretty obvious. Let me just, we only have a second, but what he's talking about is Surah 5:116. The Quran, primarily in Surahs 3, 4, 5, and 6, there are a couple other places, but that's the central focus there. The Quran emphasizes the oneness of Allah, and the repeated phrase is, there is no God but Allah. And a couple of times in that section, you have, say not three. It is better for you. There is no God but Allah. And every single time it says, say not three, the next phrase is, there is no God but Allah. So the question is, where does the Quran identify the three? And there is only one place. None of these other references have anything to do with where the Quran is saying, there is only one God, Allah. It's not addressing the issue of worship. It's not addressing Tawheed. In this section, you have the issue of worship being addressed. And in fact, it's saying, in the end time, Allah is going to say to Jesus, did you say to people, worship me and my mother Mary in derogation of Allah? So what's that referring to? Well, there are a lot of answers from that from Muslims these days. But the vast majority of Muslims in Muslim countries with whom I have had conversations, think, and probably still the most listened to Muslim in the world, even though he's dead. He likewise, from South Africa, in all of his lectures, Ahmed Didat, had said, you know, you Christians believe in three gods. And when I was in South Africa, I had a Muslim I was debating say, you all do believe in three gods, and use the same text. So I'm, you know, certainly there are Muslims who interpret these texts differently than other Muslims do, but the fact is the vast majority of Muslims interpret these texts as having to do with the fact that the Trinity is in error. Surah 114 is Surah 112 is interpreted in that way, the third ayah. So it's just one of the few places where you can go to ask the question, who are the three in the author of the Quran's mind? Where else are three listed in the context that would be relevant? And that's why Surah 5:116 comes up. These other texts aren't talking about worship, they're not talking about Tawheed, they're not talking about saying not three, so they're really not relevant.
Okay, we have time for one more question. Olivia from Swansea, South Carolina. If Romans 13 is supposed to apply only to a government that is upholding God's law, if defiance of tyrants is obedience to God, and if that means that armed resistance to protect the life and liberty of our neighbors can be acceptable, do we see any instances of the first century church interpreting it this way? If so, what are they? And if not, why would they not take the initiative and defend themselves?
Well, defying tyrants is not a call to revolution. The early church was called specifically to proclaim the gospel, as are we. And there's a difference between being a very, 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 very small group in Imperial Rome and living, for example, in the United Kingdom in the 19th century or 18th century, where you have an ostensibly Christian culture, at least by public profession it is, anyways. They drilled it into the walls of the buildings anyhow. chiseled it, and it's still there. Nobody walking by seems to care any longer. So there's a different context between the early church and what we would be looking at today. I'm not sure exactly how the first part of the question, how they were supposed to be related to one another, because Romans chapter 13 is saying that a church is to be, the state is to be the servant of Christ, and that is the key issue in Romans chapter 13, but I know we're out of time, so I'll just leave it there.
Sorry, David, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and everybody else that sent in a question that we don't have time to read. Hopefully, Dr. White will come back soon, and we'll be able to read those questions for him then. I want to thank you so much, Dr. White. I want to remind our listeners that your website is aomin.org, aomin.org, and the G3 Conference website for the conference where you will be speaking among over 20 other speakers this fall is g3conference.com, g3conference.com. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.